Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
When we come into union with Christ, what happened to Christ is credited to have happened to us. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also were raised into a newness of life. So he says, now we should walk in the newness of life.
Die to what he died to. Because he died, I'm no longer in my sins. Because he died, I can never be sick. Because he died, I can never be poor. Because he died, I can never be under a curse. Because he died, I can never be a prey to the fowler. My soul has escaped through his blood.
Step into the world of infinite possibilities as you listen to Pastor David Ibichukwu today.
The Lord of wealth, as I learn the irrefutable laws of wealth by your wisdom, Lord, I declare it will be used for your glory. Not selfish accumulation, but to fulfill purpose, to do your will, to bring pleasure to you, to advance your work, to bring glory to your name. In the name of Jesus, my heart is open. Speak to me. Lord, speak to me. Set me on my feet. Set me on my feet. By the light I receive today, I break forth into greater dimensions of financial abundance and financial dominion in the name of Jesus. For this too is your will. For this too brings you pleasure. For this too brings you pleasure. For this too is for your glory. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And so it is done. Give him a good praise. Hallelujah. Right. Have your seat in God's presence. Ushers, help me and begin to arrange people fast from the back as we used to do it. All right. Or people coming in. How many laws have we been taught? How many laws? I didn't say, have I outlined or listed for us? How many laws? Two. What's the first one? Is this the hall I was in? Did they take me to another hall? The people I was talking to in the morning? All right. What's the first law we dealt? Now, the practicals we're going to do on that is that everybody will be able to write 10 purposes. Strong whys you have. And it's you're going to search your heart, okay? I remember somebody advising me many years ago, about something that is supposed to be also important in my own life, for my own good. And the person was talking, advising me. When the person was through, I told the person, I said, listen, I want to tell you the truth. Thank you for your advice. Thank you for being well-intentioned. I just don't know why. All I need is for you to be praying for me. I can't tell you why, but I know I won't take this advice. I know I'm not going to do it. And I can't tell you why. Because I love myself, I don't hate myself. But I can't tell the truth to myself. I know when I'm not ready to do something. How many of you have been there? Right? So don't go writing things just because you want to sound the first purple. Search your heart. Search your heart. To thy own self be what? True. To thy own self be true. Search your heart seriously and ask yourself, what are the real purpose? Are they strong enough? Do I mean it? Nobody can make progress if you keep believing lies. No, you can't make progress. And one person that we can successfully lie to and deceive is ourselves. You can. So settle down. Write it assignment. 10 reasons why I can't afford to end a financial mediocre. Why must I be rich? Not the one pastor gave you. The one that is real to you. Search your heart. If they are not up to 10, leave it vacant. Don't fill it because you just want to. Don't formulate anything from your head. Leave it vacant and keep working on it. Later, go back to it until you mean that thing. When you mean it, anytime someone touches you and asks you, you won't have to consult any paper. You won't have to consult any paper. It will be written on the tablets of your heart. And that's where that intention, that strong desire will stem from. That's where the passion will come from. That's what will empower you to stand up and stop making excuses and stop blaming people and stop blaming systems or blaming the economies. That's what will move you to take absolute responsibility, to drive beyond limits and not. Once you get that right, you will know why it was the number one irrefutable law. That's how it works. What's the second law we gave you? I'm not hearing you. Let me also tell you how that works. It works by setting goals. Anything you don't plan for never eventually works. You must schedule for a thing before you're going to see it work effectively. You have to not assume that you're passionate enough so you're going to start reading number. No, don't do that. Set goals. And when you're setting goals, start from very realistic goals. If you've not been able to read a book in a whole year before, don't say, this year I will read 60 books. You know you will not read it. Start from where you can. 1 month I will start with one. At least one. I'll read 12. 1 week I'll at least listen to 2 different. Start from there. I always say, I said it on Wednesday, on yesterday evening. Whenever you're starting something, don't give yourself, okay? Bring down the standard. The major thing is for you to do that thing and be what? Consistent. Be faithful. Don't raise the standard too high that you, when you're full of zeal, you can do it. When you're not full of zeal, you find it difficult because you've raised the standard too high. The major thing is consistency. That's where the power lies. Somebody say, inconsistency lies the power. Now, write down. Because these things we are doing is not lecture. You have practicals. Because that's where you're going to acquire the wisdom. Write down that I'm going to set goals on how many books I'm going to read on money and wealth creation. And then how many books I'm going to read on entrepreneurship and building businesses. Because these two subjects are different. So that's what you're going to. How many books? Set goals on how many trainings you'll take. And you know, you don't have to be there physically now. You know, the digital world has made it much more possible. Every month. Because I have to acquire more. Some of us, that's what I'm doing now. I mean, from the middle of this year, June, to this time, I think I have listened to more trainings than I've ever done for the past 3-4 years in terms of wealth creation. Because once the Lord begins to move my heart towards something, I get prophecy, like the same way you get purpose, prophecy. I prepare for it. Because that's what we're going to do next year. I have to be very well prepared. You don't charge with determination. You'll be humbled. And then you begin to waste money, waste resources. So you have to take it very, very seriously. Very, very seriously. Somebody say, I hear. Now, let's go to number 3. Law of financial vision and planning. The law of financial vision and planning. So, write the law. Failure to plan for financial fortune, that's the law, is planning to fail financially. It's a law. Failure to plan for financial fortune is planning to fail financially. Let's look at the scriptures. I would like to have them on the screen. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 27. And I would like to have the NLT of it. Proverbs 24, verse 27, the NLT of it. So this is how life works. Every time you see someone that is successful, genuinely successful, sustainably successful. There are people that their success is just an event. Some people, their success is like a flash across the pan, or a flash in the pan. But if you see somebody that is getting results, and every single time you see the person, it keeps getting better and getting better, having a forward and upward movement, what you're seeing is someone who is thoroughly planned and prepared for life. That's what you're seeing. And he follows a plan. This is what I tell people. There are things that happen as planned. There are things that happen not as planned. There are things that happen better than you planned. But without a plan, nothing good can happen at all. Did you get that now? Did you understand that now? For example, I work till today with a weekly timetable. I have a weekly timetable. Every of my hour is allocated before it comes. I know what I'm supposed to do this time, between this time and this time. And there are certain times in my timetable, I also leave some pockets. I don't like overload. I leave pockets of time that I fix nothing for flexibility. I do that. Okay? Different people, once something is overloading, it doesn't give me the space and liberty to express myself. So I'm not too strict with what I plan. I give room for flexibility. But I want to see, everybody listen to me. There are certain days and certain times that I veer off my schedule. Most days I am on my A game, but there are some days I'm not on my A game. And all my emotions and my feelings are feeling all these normal things. But one thing you know is that I know that when I'm not in my A game and when I veer off my plan, I know the plan I veered off. So I know where to return to. But when you don't have a schedule and you don't have a plan, when you veer off, you don't even know. No GPS. You just, they go. So one of those days, many years ago, was the first time we're going to Abuja, I remember. And we have one of our members then, and they were also driving. But we had the transporter driving us that knows the route. They fire. After Obula, for all those places, where you now connect to that Kogi, you know, going to Lokoja. By the left. I mean, that was the old route. I don't know if they're still taking those places now. Okay? Where you connect to the left. This guy, I say, follow us, bumper. He said, no, pastor, we have our GPS. And they now went to a place and there was no network. GPS off. Nothing was working. So they were waiting for network. Now they lose that junction. Now they start, they go straight. Namakodio. And they don't, they blow for close to an hour. No matter how fast you're traveling, if you're on the wrong route, you will never end in the right place. It doesn't matter the speed. If you're on the wrong route, you will never end in the right place. Suddenly we called. Where are you people? Because we are not seeing you. He said, pastor, our GPS. I said, did you turn left? They said, no. I said, no, man, continue. Now they go. They had to turn back again. One of the greatest tragedies of life is to find a man who does not know his purpose. Another tragedy of life is to meet someone without strong desire for something awesome that he can do with his life. No strong desire. You just look into the person's eyes. What do you want to be? I don't even know. What are you working on now? I just looking for something I can do to make some money. It's just... And you look in the eyes. Is a tragedy of life. But another one, the third one, is to meet a man without a clear plan. So see what the scripture says in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 27. And let us all read. 1, 2, go. Do your planning and prepare your field. What does your field represent? Your work. Where you cultivate. You know, that time it was agricultural economy. Is that right? That's the main economy. So it's telling you this is where your business is. This is where your work is. This is where your job is. Go there and prepare your field before building your house. I took this very literally. I took it very literally. Do your planning. Know what is priority. Know what must come before what. You have to have a plan. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5. New King James, please. Hold your neighbor. Do you know the name of your neighbor? Call him by his or her name. Say, Mr. David. Say, hear the word of the Lord. And read that to your neighbor loud. One to go. One more time. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely. Because most people who are hasty feel like planning is a waste of time. They feel like, let's just go and start doing it. What plan do you have? Everybody that works with me knows that. Whenever I'm doing anything, I tell you, submit your plan. Submit what's guiding you. And some people will submit it to fulfill all righteousness. By the time you work with them for a week, you just notice it's not even up to 3 weeks. They are not following the plan. They just wanted to submit something. Many people work spontaneously without a plan. They work emotionally without a plan. How they feel and whatever they feel, that's just the way they launch themselves into it. And let me tell you, you will hit money that way. Sometimes. And let me tell you, there will be some opportunities you will have. And you hit money, very big money, that even the kind of money that will make you build a house, do some important things in your life. But that's not being wealthy. You can never build wealth without a clear plan that you're faithful to and you're committed to. Wealth is planned for. I hope I'm cutting soap for us. I hope you get it. This is where the hard work is. That's what distinguishes financial mediocres from financial super achievers. There must be a clear plan. You go to businesses that are doing very well, and you're going to hear, this is our company or our organization plan. This is the blueprint for this year to this year. This is what, and you're going to see it. It's very clear. Everybody knows that. They use it for their board meetings. They use it for their staff trainings. It is communicated down the line. Everybody knows the objectives of that company, what they want to hit. When they come together, that's what they are brainstorming about. There must be a clear plan. Somebody say, I hear. Now write this down. Wealth favors those who value it enough. Wealth favors those who value it enough to create clear plans on how to make it and how to multiply it. Wealth favors those who value it enough to create clear plans on how to make it and how to multiply it. So let's get into what financial planning is about. Financial planning is the process of evaluating your present financial situation. That's where planning starts from. You have to evaluate your financial situation. Continue to speak faith. Continue to declare, I can never be broke. Continue to declare, I am super abundantly rich. Continue to declare, I am blessed, and the blessing makes me rich. And do not, because we walk by faith and not what? By sight. But when it comes to planning, you will calm down. And you're going to investigate, because there is a process you have to put in place. A process that has to start running that will make those things you're confessing manifest in your life. So in planning, you is not a confession. No, it's assessment. Settle down. Those of us who practice tithing by revelation and by faith, it helps you a lot. And if you're a good tither, because so many people, the way money comes in into their hands, they are not yet operating with very organized systems that can trap in all the money and account for everything that comes in and everything that goes out. Their cash flows. Some people are yet to get there. But if you're the kind of person that you're very, very disciplined and you tithe every money that is yours, that you can use at will, whether it is salary, business profit, investment returns, or whether it is favor or a gift, you tithe it. Or you're the kind of person that structured your account in such a way that once money comes in, that percentage leaves. But based on that, you have a receiving account. That receiving account is where you receive money before you allocate to other places. It will help you to know exactly how much enters your life in 1 month. You can calculate your tithe. You know the percentage you're tithing, whether you're tithing 10% or you're using the principle of tithing to do more than 10%. No matter what, you can check exactly how much enters your hands every month. So first of all, you have to look at your lipid. What's the amount of money that I make? Then you also have to look at your assets. The things that I've put in ground, they may not be making enough money, but within time, it's like sowing. You're like a farmer. Within time, it has. So the more you're investing in assets, things that keep bringing you money, so you have to look at that. Somebody may not be too big with liquid now, but yet be very big with assets. That man is a rich man. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Wave your hands if you're here. Am I communicating to you? So, financial planning is the process of evaluating your present financial situation for this purpose, so you can set future goals and create a comprehensive roadmap to achieve them. That's it. You look at where you are. So, these goals are set according to the realistic assessment of where you are now. Realistically. And then you decide where you want to be within a specific time. Because that's what makes it a goal. A goal has to give it time. And then you begin to develop a roadmap, outline strategies and processes that will get you there from where you are to where you want to be financially. That's how it works. And that is serious hard work. Sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, family and friends, I'm telling you the truth. Serious hard work. But that's the hard work that the poor never like to do, that the rich seldom does, here and there. But the wealthy are committed to. It is in planning that you will think about this and say, no, this place is going to take me a longer route. No, this other place is going to take me a shorter route. Let me try this. Let me try that. And I always advise people, in planning your finances, please, please consult those who know better than you. The period you're doing that, go and get books. Let the Lord lead you. Get some books, get some trainings that will give you superior information. Add to what you know, so your plan and your strategy will be wise. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because if you do not plan well, you will not reach there well. If the planning is faulty, the journey will have a lot of hiccups. The journey will have a lot of hindrances. So it is important. It's like a doctor that is treating someone. The moment the doctor makes a mistake in prognosis and diagnosis, the treatment is already wrong. No matter how that doctor is trying to treat the person, he won't get it. So your planning is not just what you have in your head. That's why before this, there is financial intelligence. The financial intelligence law comes before this. All these things that were written, I wrote them chronologically in the order that they should come. This one should come before this one. This one should come before this one. That's how I arrange them. Wave your hands if you're here. Am I here with you? Amen. So, hold your neighbor again. And shout that thing. The plans of the diligent surely will lead to plenty. Say, but the plans of the lazy, because they are hasty, they won't take time, they won't commit, they won't be diligent, they won't research and come out with a blueprint. It's like taking the building you want to do to a qualified architect. And the person says, sorry, sir, what you're explaining will take us about 1 month, 4 weeks to develop and bring out for you. We have to factor in a lot of things, not just the building itself. I want to go to the site, look at the soil textures and things. I want to go with my structural team. People who are structural engineers, soil engineers. They want to know the kind of, you know, foundation that will be done. The size of the pillars because of the soil texture. We also want to look at the topography to know how to design the building. And we have to also look at the direction of the wind. And how the sun sets, and how we are going to factor in sunlight, the wind coming in. We are going to factor. He said, "Come on, forget this nonsense." And you rush. I'm going to give it to a draftsman. Can you do it? Yes, I can. That's how they used to build houses. That you see upstairs, there is a door, but there is no stairs leading anywhere. By the time you finish designing the house, one room is too large, one room is looking like a cubicle. The other room, you don't know whether it's supposed to be a store, a cubicle, or a room. Amen? Are you hearing what I'm saying? How many of you have packed into houses like that? It's happening. It's one thing for that to happen with a building, which is dangerous. Very dangerous. But it's another thing for that to happen with building your life and building your financial vision. There must be clear planning. I want you to listen to the last advice I want to give you about this before we move to the next one. In financial planning, please hear me. You must focus on your own wealth goals. And avoid comparing your financial situation to that of your peers. focus everybody's journey is different. Where you're starting from is different. The upbringing you had and the environment that raised you, different. Some of you have to deal with some other things before you get to another level. Some of you are already starting on the right foot because you had parents, you had environment, you went to churches that taught you right from a very young age. Somebody like me, I started early. At the age of 18, the Spirit of the Lord sent me on a journey because I have good teachers and great teachers. And I'm so grateful. And they sent me on a journey to study. I made a research of why Africans are poor and Africa as a continent is rich. I also did a study why it takes Africans too long to succeed. So I found that the African society, our sociocultural setup, was set up in a way where it had great advantages on one side, but when it came to the economy and financial upbringing, it was very dangerous. So Africans seldom have independence early in life. And because of that, it takes independence for you to develop the need for wealth. Did you understand that? There has to be a need for wealth. The person that the parents are giving everything that he or she needs in the higher institution, whether you're in a university or a polytechnic or anything, a college of education, in the higher institution, if your parents are giving you the things you need, and then you, even if they don't give you everything, you also have one or two uncles you can call and they're helping you, that person will not have the same need to create wealth and earn money like the person that doesn't have anybody that is giving him. So, but both of them are going to be in the same class, doing the same course. One is not earning. The other knows, if I'm going to pay for my rent, I better earn. If I'm going to pay for my handouts, I better earn. If I'm going to pay for my textbooks, I better earn. That person knows. And it begins to fashion their perspective and their value for wealth early enough. And that's what I did. So when I started studying a whole lot of things, I knew, this is what I was going to do. I had a father who was not ready for that. I had a mother who was ready to sacrifice anything, and they were doing their best to take care of me. But I went to them and told them, at the age of 19, I am officially leaving the house. I will later visit them for a few days, 2 years after that, just for honor. 2 years after that, when I was 21, in December of that year, for a few days. That was the day there was no longer one toothbrush, no longer one anything in my father's house. From that day, at the age of 19, my going to my father's house was for a short visit. So by the time, and I was, you've got to understand, I was coming out from the pre-science school, going to the university in my year one. So every single thing, that was why I became a millionaire in my third year in school before I clicked my final year. Because I had to now begin to work for myself. The only deal I had with my father was that he was going to have the honor to pay my school fees. And my school fees, my year one school fees coming was 500 naira. And by the time I was graduating, the highest school fees were paid, and that was about 3,000 something or 6,000, I'm trying to remember, 6,000 or 3,000 something. It was still money then, but he could pay. So it wasn't an issue for him. That was the advantage of federal universities then. And everybody wanted to get into a federal university because it was funded by the government. It was almost basically free. Praise the Lord. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Wave your hands if you're here. So I left home. Until you declare independence, there won't be a strong. So every holiday, there was no mother calling me. There was no father calling me. Every holiday, I was working. In school, I was working. I now knew I didn't have time to be attending different parties. I didn't have time to finish from school and be working with this person from we visit this person and visit this person. I didn't have time. I only had very little time for recreation. I was doing ministry, very strong ministry, and I was creating wealth. So this is how it works. Everybody is not starting the same place. Now imagine someone before his 20, at 23, before he will celebrate his 24th birthday, becoming a millionaire. And another person at 25 that has not started earning yet. We are not standing on the same, we are not starting. So you've got to be careful. When it comes to your financial planning, please focus on your own wealth goals. Avoid comparing your financial situation to that of others. Don't try to copy another person. Your strategies must be unique to your own situation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? One thing is sure. If you begin the journey of creating wealth, no matter where you are, and you stay consistently on it, before you know it, it will tarry in your own eyes. But God said, wait for it, it will not tarry. That 5 years may be long, but it will come faster than you think. That 10 years may be long, but it will come faster than you think. I'm telling you the truth. The money that was used to deliver this property, while people were giving on their own as they feel, were decisions I made for this ministry over 12 years prior to this property coming out. So when there was an opportunity for a property that was over 300 million, and the Spirit of the Lord, you see, the law of grace at work, pushes their hearts. In fact, because we were already leasing the property, they said they will give to us finally at 280. They asked me how much. And I said 130. Later we finished and I said 140. And the Lord said you should stay there. Stay there. 50% of 280. This is the most premium property on this road. I hope you know that. There is no property else like this property. Go from the beginning of it, from Aroma down to here. This is the most premium property. The best property you find on this long road. And anybody who had it would have used it for anything. The funny thing is that the man who had it is a man who is into retail chains, stores. You know, I don't want to do more than that. Do you know that after the man sold the property, the man later came, months after, to start looking for property in Ifite to open a retail chain store? I'm telling you. That's God moving. We have confessed fearful favor. Fearful favor. The man said he's not selling. So the negotiation ended December. Nobody heard. People were coming into this property to video. Coming into this property to video. Coming into this property to video. We'll be in service, they'll be videoing. Some of my people in the city will call me and say, Pastor, this property, we are agents. This property is on sale. Are you still here? What's going on? I said we didn't agree. And the Lord said, don't talk to me about it. From January till July, and God moves. God moves. God moves. The heart of that man. And I was on my way to church. As I entered in front of the door, the main entrance door, the Spirit of the Lord said, now pick your phone and call the lawyer. He said, now I'm ready. I've prepared his heart. I called the lawyer. I said, God, what offer? He said, the same offer, 140 million. I used to mix the figures, but I had to go back and check. It's exactly 140 million. What was on top of it was the legal fee and the agent fees. Because what we paid the first time was 50% of it, 73.5 million. I'll never forget that. I want you to listen, because this is key. I'm helping you. I said, call the man now and make this offer that you will give him 50% in the next 1 week. I said, Lord, 1 week. He said, yes. He said, then the rest will be spread in 6 months. After a quarter, 3 months, you give another 25%. And after, you give another 25%. And remember, we're already on a lease. And we had about 2 to 3 years, I dare about, still remaining on our lease. And I could have negotiated for 2 years. And then I called the lawyer, and the lawyer said, Pastor, are you shifting from the offer? I said, the same offer. He said, you're not shifting. I said, no. And he said, Pastor, what? I said, no, you're just representing your client. You must tender my offer to him. And the lawyer said, okay, let me send. By the time I was leaving church, driving home, she calls and she's shouting, Pastor, what kind of God do you serve? This man said, if you will give him that 70 million, the 3.5 was for the lawyers, because the deal was that both the lawyer fee and the agent fee will be paid all at the same time. And so that was the deal. If you will give him 70 million, in 1 week, the property is yours. And if you will, he now said, and if you will keep to the 25% every 4 months, the lawyer said her own quarter, she interpreted it as 4 months. So in 8 months, you will do that. I said, it's not 8 months, it's 6 months. He said, Pastor, he has already agreed 8 months. Just take it. Even if you want to pay 6 months. I said, no, sir. I know. I said, no, ma'am. If I take the 8 months, I will pay for it. If I do the 6 months, God will pay for it. I have to stick to what he told me. Exactly what he told me is 6 months. And that's how that deal was done. We came to the church. We told the church. People were doing the things they could do, giving from their hearts, and love songs give. We have the most giving church anywhere in the world. You better know it. Come on, give God praise. If you know they give, you on your own. We have the most giving church. The people that give the most are not the people that have the most. It's the people that love the most. Most people that give the most are not as rich as others in church who just drop 50,000, 100,000. I'm telling you the truth. It's the people that love the most. People whose hearts are open for God to use. That's one of the reasons why I don't, what you have and what you have, I respect you for your hard work. I respect you. Give honor to whom honor is due for how much you build wealth. But when it comes to God's work, what you are and what you have outside doesn't mean anything until your heart is proven. Now, the decisions and the plans I made, God guiding me and studying and knowing how to run a corporate thing. Because the Lord told me, he said, I'm pastoring students, pastoring very young people, even the little entrepreneurs, how much did they have? How are we going to be able to deal with this vision? When our ministry started,
To raise the rent of 16,000 naira for the tracing hall we were using was like a mountain. We were believing God. The first hall we ever had at the Avenue Hall was 250,000. It took faith, fire, and brimstone to raise that money. We were selling properties to raise that money. And the more visions were coming and more visions were coming, and the Spirit of the Lord was telling me, I'll be praying and He'll be telling me things to write. And then suddenly, I told the Lord, the kind of visions you're giving this ministry, is it this kind of finance we're going to use to do it? And then He says, son, declare a 2 weeks fast. He declared it for me. 2 weeks, I went to it's in my house for 2 weeks, and I already have a big library. That's one of your advantages. Make sure you have a library that whenever God wants to lead you, there is a book inside there He will use to lead you. I already have it. So He told me, as I was going through, I was just hearing the Holy Spirit, pick this. I picked my Bible. That was a fast. The fast was not just fasting. I told them, give me time. For 2 weeks, sakata, lokoto, laka, there must be a way out. Father, light, what must I do? I'll finish, I'll open this book, I'll read, I'll take out notes. By the time I came out, a few months, the finances of this ministry tripled. From the root of that fast, I started having plans of how the ministry will go. And I was moving like, you know, I like the work to be speaking. I don't like noise. Stilled. No noise. Silent operator. That was when I said, oh, thank God. Hey, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. That's when I knew that length of time had a purpose. How many of you are getting what I'm saying? If you're getting it, say I hear. So when the opportunity came, no matter what people were giving, there was more than enough to take care of it. Because the ministry had a financial plan. You're going to have to do a financial plan for your family. A financial plan for your business, for your organizations. If you are a salaried person, if you're an intrapreneur that works within a system and you're paid as fine, you have to sit down and create your own financial plan. That's the truth. There are different routes to being very wealthy. Dr. Konjo Iweala is not an entrepreneur. She has worked for corporate organizations all her life. So anybody that told you you must... No. There are other things. What leads to wealth is not the money you earn. When you follow the plan, is what happens after you earn. That's what leads to wealth. Praise the Lord. How many of you got it? If you got it, give God praise. Take a little time and discuss what and what you're learning with the person by your side. Please, if the person says something I didn't say, help me correct it. Talk to that person by your side. If the person says what I didn't say, help me correct it. All of you here who are business people, before the year runs out, you must come out with a clear financial plan for your businesses. You must have projections and have strategies on how to get there.
Praise the Lord. So this is how it goes. Somebody say financial vision to evaluations. You evaluate where you are. Then to goal setting. And then strategy development. That's how it goes. You have your vision. You evaluate where you are. Then you set goals of where you want to be within a time. If you have not started mastering, or if you have not mastered goal setting, you've not learned how to set goals and meet it. Don't start with long-term goals. Start with short-term goals. Start with short-term goals. Don't go and say, I have a five-year goal. When you have never been able to have a one-month goal and keep to it. Now, also, don't set too short a goal, because certain goals you set need a little time for it to work. So, have a one-year goal. When you finish, break them down to quarterly goals. That's the safe place to start from. As you now start getting used to setting goals and meeting it, setting goals, and even when you don't hit it, you will notice you gave it a good try. And you have mastered that system of setting goals, you can now start developing long-term goals. If you go and do it because you heard motivational speakers to tell you, I have a 50-year plan, it will just be in paper that you even forget where you wrote it. It will mean nothing to you. Those things are just theory. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's only those that have mastered it that can now go on and start doing that. Because they have created a system. That's their lifestyle. Number four, the one I'm waiting for. Law of income and multiple earnings. Income enhancement and multiple earnings. Let's see how fast we can be. The fourth law, irrefutable, the law of income enhancement and multiple earnings. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4. Write this down. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23. Proverbs 13, 4. Proverbs 14, 23. Proverbs 31, verse 13 to 14. But before it, let's read the law. There are two aspects, the A side of this law and the B side of this law. One, the A side of the law. Money only flows in the direction of value and productivity. Money only flows, is a law, in the direction of value and productivity. Anybody that is lacking money, either of these things or both of them are lacking. You have to offer something that someone else needs and is willing to pay for. That's how it is. The stop is not a mystery. And every human being on earth has been gifted with gifts by God that is a solution and a provision for another person's need. How many of you have been in that place, especially those of us who are very spiritually minded and we are committed to spiritual things, that sometimes as spiritually minded as you are, you just, at that moment, you just want to laugh. How many of you have been? Wave your hands if you've been there. That means that's the need for what? Entertainment. So God gave that gift on some people. They are natural entertainers. Every need a man has, God invested the gift to supply for that need in somebody else. So if people are not seeking after you, and they are not coming willing to pay for it, it means you've not developed the things God placed in you that is a solution and a provision to their needs. To the point that they can appreciate it and they are willing to pay for it. There more you increase in value, the more you attract money. Simple. That's how it works. If you're driving a car and the car breaks down, at that moment, what do you need? Somebody has fixed the car. Someone has developed that skill to the point it's valuable, and you're ready to trade with your money. If another person just comes out and says, I'm a mechanic, not auto engineer, and what you're driving is the latest Range Rover Sport 2025 model, and the person just comes and says, I'm a mechanic, will you accept to give that car to you? And you're just looking at the person and there is grease on his body. You know how mechanics look, not auto engineers. So if you say, I'm a mechanic, and what you're driving is a 99 Camry, you can give him. You go there and be sucking fuel. So one person has a skill that is needed. He can fix cars. But another person has developed that skill to the point that those who have 2025 Range Rover can, their skill can move. So they are valuable. Both of them are valuable. But one has raised the value to a point. So when this other guy finishes servicing car, they will pay him 10,000 naira for servicing car. This other guy, if you take your car there for servicing, you don't ask for anything. You don't even go and buy your own diesel. You park the car, they will tell you to come and collect it. And when they tell you to come and collect, they write you a bill. Your bill is 760,000 for servicing your car. Another one is collecting 10,000. So whenever money is not coming into your hands, the issue is that you're chasing money. And that's not how money works. The secret of money is that you don't need to chase it. It has to chase you. You've got to focus on what value can my giftings and my skills, what needs can I solve? What are the things people are willing to pay for? And you start working on it. And when you work on it, the more you improve on it, the more it increases, the more money comes to you. So some people have things of value, but their problem is lack of character. They don't translate it into productivity. Let me give you an example. In our church, right now, we have a need of people that will take our media to the next level. And we are ready to invest millions every month for it. The first thing first is, Pastor, I can do it. Obro, no. Show me where you have done it. Your resume must come with work experience. And when it comes to media, it's not what you write on paper. You show where you've done it. Pastor, we can handle your social media. Show me the social media you've handled. Pastor, we can run social media ad. I went for the training. It's nothing. If you like, train for the next 5 years. Show me the places you've run ads for them, how you run those ads, and it translated to engagement. It translated to sales. I want to know, because it's a skill. It's not just taking money and paying Facebook and Instagram and TikTok. Anybody can just promote anything. Amen? It's a skill. It has to translate into these things. Now you find some people who even can do any of these things, and they are broke. You come in the department like this, and you're praying, and you're saying, Father, the moment I see somebody that is productive, I'll pick the person and start investing immediately. As I'm talking to you, we can send anybody to any film school and wherever it is, anywhere in the world we can. The question is not that, is because we are, every wealthy person is a ruthless strategic investor. When you're wealthy, one of the things that make you wealthy is that you've stopped wasting money. That's the law of frugality. Every wealthy man does not waste money. He doesn't relate with money emotionally. He's not emotional when he's dealing with money. That's why if you see very wealthy people, you might think they are wicked. You might think they are wicked. They don't look at your face to make investments. They have to consider. They have to look at that thing. And look at the risk and the returns ratio. We call it the RR ratio. The risk and the return ratio. Because he won't have money if he was wasting it. And he's studying. So you say, okay, at the level where you are, it is called the law of stewardship. Before the Lord our God commits more into your hands, he will first of all test you with little. He will give you small keyboard, give you small camera. They get the camera for 3 million, get it for 5 million, and watch if you produce. A whole lot of people have skills that are valuable, but the problem is that they lack the character to be productive with their skills. People need their skills. You put them in charge. They just kind of came in and be funny. After 1 month, show me why you were carrying camera. Answer. It's just that we need one laptop. Are you sure? Send me the laptop. You send them the laptop. They send you, you pay for it. After 3 months again, show me Emsa. So they are carrying camera for 5 months without productivity. It's not about activity. It's about what you're producing. Your skill has to start producing things. And very consistently. Very, very consistently. I won't say more than that. Recently, I made a call and I canceled a deal I had with some people to invest in them. Immediately. Well, and there is no emotions. I told them, I said, I don't see fire in your eyes. And in the place I want to make an investment, it's not about how well you can do it. It's about the fire and the passion you carry. You have to drive that thing. And because I'm not seeing it, I'm canceling it. So this time around, I'm going to pick anybody I see, just one, if there is one, and invest in that one. Until I see fire, someone who is ready. How can you want something, and I come to your page, I'm seeing no activity? You said you want your song to go around the world. You say you want to sing for everybody to hear you. Every day you walk around doing nonsense. That you, I'm telling you, how much are you earning? That is a gift God gave you. Listen, your work is different from your job. Your job is what you used to earn money. You used to earn money. Money to take care of yourself. Money to do these things. Your work is your gifting. When you work on your gift and you deploy it and become productive with it, you won't be earning money. You'll be controlling money. As Pastor David, president and presiding pastor of Lamb, I have salary by policy that belongs to me. That's my job. But from the inception of this ministry to today, I've never taken it. Not for one day. No message sold in this church. No training done in this church. If you do a training and a special training and you pay for it, it goes back to the church. You sell a message, you sell anything from me, it goes back to the church directly. Why? Because there is something else I have developed. That I don't need the salary. If you understand the law of value, if you understand the law of value, and somebody that is not as gifted as some of the people are online every day making videos, and they don't need iPhones, anything they have, because the law of stewardship says that if you treat wealth as seed and you become faithful with little, it will continue to produce more. So whenever you see somebody who says that all he needs is if you can give him capital, you know he's not going to be rich. Nobody needs capital to do anything. Nobody needs money from anybody to do anything. The real wealth is inside of you. Inside of you. So when you see some people who have value, but they're not productive, what you're seeing is laziness, lack of character. To sit down. The lazy man puts his hands inside what? To bring it out again to eat, he cannot. A lazy man goes for a game, horns, to dress it, improve on it, he cannot. That's what the scripture says. So the first law of earning is to work on your value. What do you have that people need that is valuable? Work on it and continue increasing it. And then secondly, to be productive. Back to back productivity. You know, one of the things that hard work does? Hard work communicates integrity. People can trust you. When people see hard work, how hard working it is, they believe you are trustworthy and investment worthy. Hard work earns you the respect of both your team and both your clients and the people who need what you carry. And it takes serious hard work to be productive. So there must be something you're offering. Either you're manufacturing products or you're selling products. Or you're offering services. Or you're offering solutions. There must be either of these three. So the comedian that earns is being paid. He begins to invest in his art because he knows that human beings have need of entertainment. That there are times that even in the entertainment, they just don't want music. They just want to laugh. And so he begins to work on his work and gets it and push himself. If nobody gives him a stage, the internet is a leveler. Social media is a leveler. You have a camera. You don't even need ring light yet. Later you can buy ring light. And no matter the camera, the things that go viral don't have to be excellently produced. They don't have to have the best quality of pictures. Start with what you have, from where you are, and start doing the best you can. And he's there every day. He tells himself, I will make a post every day except Sunday. I have a Sabbath. 6 days. There are some posts that will be long, but every day I'll be posting. And he begins to, he doesn't know which day. And one day, one celebrity that may be in the country and out of the country will just retweet, will just share one thing, something that the person has been hewing for 5 years. Nobody saw him. And one day, Kai, when the clouds are full, there is always a Kairos day for someone. One day, bam, one blogger just laughs at the joke and says, I don't know who this person is, but this guy got me. This lady is cracking me up. And that's it. Suddenly, bam, 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 he's been invited.
busy walking, delivering value, I will show up. Whether anybody likes me or not, I will show up. I'll keep doing what I need to do. Producing, 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 producing. That's why he's making money. I mean, I don't want to call anybody's name, but there are a lot of comedians that I don't laugh at their jokes. I even wonder why people like them. Until I discovered this. This will change your life forever. No matter who you are. And no matter who doesn't like you. God is so righteous and just that when he created over 8 billion people on planet Earth, he made sure there is a portion of that 8 billion that is you they will like. What you don't like, another person likes. So when I'm doing things, I don't focus on who rejects it. I always know what I do has its own market. What I need to do is to sit up and press in. My market go show. I go sell market one day. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Wave your hands if you're getting me. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Somebody say productivity. Am I helping you? Am I helping you? So that's the A part. What I said the A part is, read it to me. Again? Look at the B part of the word, of the law. And wealth never comes from one source only. And wealth, remember, money is the seed you use to grow wealth. You have to know the difference between money and wealth. And as we keep teaching you these things, you're going to understand it better. Wealth never comes from one source only. Wealth flows from multiple streams. Wealth flows from multiple streams. As wealthy as Dangote and Dangote Group is, just the cement, just the flour, just the sugar, why didn't he just stop? Why is he still creating more and more streams? Why is he going to petroleum and gas? Why is he even thinking of other aspects? Why? Companies that were so good before that didn't understand this principle, even when they rose to the top and became good, great companies, went out of business after a while. So you have some companies like Kodak, that when the first set of people that developed digital camera came out, they brought it to them. But they were into film development. That you take camera, you now go and develop the film. You take pictures. And because that's their own area, they saw digital camera as something that won't work and a threat to their company. Instead of expanding to it, continue doing this and expanding to that. What happened to BlackBerry? What happened to Nokia? These are companies that thought that once one source is already giving you good income, you should stay there. There are people that have good jobs and they start earning. They are working in some corporate organization. Some people even work remotely. Some work, you know, hybrid. They go to office once, twice, then the point is delivered. And they are earning in dollars, in mega millions, and then they stay. They are enjoying life. Imagine having a job that pays you 20 million a month. Having a job that pays you 10 million a month in Nigeria when you change the money, or whether they are paying you in Naira. Having a job that pays you like 5 million a month, you're a bit comfortable now, right? Is that right?
until something happens and you're fired. Or something happens and the company goes belly up. Something happens and something shifts. Suddenly the person is wondering what's going on. They say they has fallen to hard times. Because the person was so excited. I'm now earning money, earning money, earning money, and became comfortable because that source can take care of all my needs and what I need. If you're going to be wealthy, you must never stop when it comes to creating more streams of income. And I'm talking to all of you. I have some of you that are my sons and daughters here. You're already big. You have money. Please don't stop where you are. Hear me. In life and in wealth, anything that stops growing has started dying. It's only a matter of time. So you must have a posture in wealth creation where you are never comfortable when your finances become stagnant, even though it's big enough to cater for you. Am I talking to you? I pray you value the things I teach you. Let's read the scriptures and then I'll give you something to write and we'll round off around here. I want you to read Proverbs chapter 13 verse 4. Hold that neighbor and read to that neighbor. 1, 2, go. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Why? Somebody say he's productive. He gets to walk his desires and produce it. Let's look at 14 verse 23. Keep reading and read out loud. 1, 2, go. In all labor there is profit. But idle chatter, this. You know, the choir sang so beautifully yesterday. Is that how you appreciate people? I don't have to know exactly when they met, how they practiced. But when I see the product, the respect I have and the admiration I have is that a lot of practice was put into it. I was listening to the instrumentalists and noticed they scored the songs. So they were not just trying to play. I was seeing Mr. Johnson directing them and you could see it. It was such a beauty and a blessing. So you don't have to announce to me how hardworking you are. Your products are already telling me. Why should you come for a meeting and you're supposed to be working and you have 3 hours for the meeting? Then you take 2 hours discussing. We need to fix this department. You call staff meeting. You talk, talk, talk. No work done. Idle chatter. Idle chatter. People that are most productive, one of the key things you notice is that they keep limiting the time they have to talk with people. That's what you notice. Right now in our ministry, I have only 2 days you can see me. On Sunday after service, you have my attention till around 5:30 to 6. I'm here. By 6 I leave because I have another meeting that we are doing to train the people who are planting our churches in the diaspora by 7. So my day on a Sunday ends around 9-10 p.m. Then I'm ready to come down. And then I have another training I do on Tuesdays. And you have in between those trainings, in the morning and in the in the evening to see me. You can't see me any other time except that time. Because every of my time is allocated. The only people that can see me are people I have deals and businesses with. If you're too available, you're no longer valuable. Because the time you are availing yourself to different things is the time you should be using. Talk. Every time, talk. I teach my pastors. I said, your work is not to cancel the whole church. Your work is to pick faithful men who are able to train others and teach others and minister to others and be training them. They are the ones you're counseling. You have no business counseling a person who is unproductive. The only time you interfere with that is when it has to do with a matter of life or something serious. You have to minister healing. You have to minister peace. You have to minister, because that's where you are. There is no discrimination. You are. But to come and be telling me your future, your this, why must I sit down and give you my time? Of what benefit are you to God? If I give you 3 hours of my time, will you go and train somebody else? So if you're not a trainer, I'm not training you. I only give to those who give others, because that's how the kingdom replicates. I don't train you because I like your face. This is a business deal. Do you understand that? Wave your hands. Hi. Am I too hard? Okay, let me tell you something about business people. If you're going to be an astute business person, you must be ruthless. I like the word ruthless, because that's what people would think of it, but that's not what it is. People used to call strict ruthlessness. The real word is that you must be strict. In all labor, there is profit, but idle chatter. So, stop talking more and start working more. Stop sharing. In fact, the more you share your plans and share your vision, the more you lose and dissipate the energy that you're going to use to accomplish it. Let your work and what you're doing talk. Let it show. Stop telling everybody the plans you have. Help me touch 3 people by your side. Say, let's see your doings. One more scripture that will help us see something about multiple. These ones are showing us productivity. Let's see that Proverbs chapter 31, verse 13 to 14. Now, read to that neighbor, one to go. She seeks wool and flax. Somebody tell your neighbor, this one is a she. Let alone a he. Imagine if you're a he and you can't do what the she is doing. Imagine that. So let's read, one to go. She seeks wool and flax. And willingly works with her hands. Somebody say productivity. Verse 14. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. So she does the one she does in her house, but she also diversifies. They bring her food from afar. Call Shatayaka. Please stop limiting the advert of your business to your WhatsApp updates. Because the only people seeing it are the same people that have been seeing it and have not been buying anything. They are even too familiar with you. They've been on your phone. Just very few number of people. So many lazy people believe that WhatsApp update is the alpha and the omega of posting something out. Once you say broadcast past WhatsApp update, that is limited. Come on, go to the open space. Invest in your ads. Learn how to run ads or get people who know and pay them. Hello? How many people that will buy from you is determined by how many people that know you exist. Investing in visibility is not a waste, it's good business. How many people that will patronize you is determined by how many people that know you do what you do, and they know how well you do it. Drive your business. Collect the ones, your local champion. Take and secure your home. In common, that's the foundation. That's where you started from. But now, your food, your profit, your money has to come from. People have to start patronizing you from outside the country. Open streams, open the doors. That's what it's about. So, because of my time, I'm almost, you know. You see why I said we need a school for this? Alright, because in the school, when we finish this thing, we will now go to practicals. When I was praying for this meeting, I said, Father, from among us here, raise financial giants. People who will build businesses, build organizations. People that will build, that will dominate and rule in cities, in states, in regions, and in nations all over the world. And God answers my prayers. I believe there is someone here who is hearing me, that his life will not remain the same again. So let me give you a little more that will help you do this. Write this down. Therefore, if you want to build wealth, you must continue. Watch the word, continue. Not just grace. You must continue to create multiple streams of two kinds of income first. One is end income, which is your primary income. That's the one that you are involved physically. Your involvement in that work is needed for you to earn from it. The second one is passive income. You are the one that sets it up, but you may have managers. For example, rentals is very good passive income. And so when you go into rentals, you have to also think about commercial rentals, different rentals. You have to study different things and know, I always say, risk to what? Returns ratio. Everything you are doing, don't just get fascinated about it. Always measure the risk to what? Return ratio. What is it like? So I was telling our people, and I said, come on, every department, starting from now, and mostly into next year, I said, begin to be entrepreneur. Because a whole lot is not going on our schools. People are not learning. And how many of you notice that sometimes you go for conferences, and I'm not saying that, because sometimes somebody is giving just 1 hour, 45 minutes, and he has a lot to share. Then the person will just tell you stories. How many of you have invited people? You tell them to come and teach you about wealth. They tell stories how they did this. Tell stories. It's not that you won't learn anything. You'll get one statement here, get one. But by the time you're leaving, you're like, I've not really, this is not why, we are here. And so, when you look at all these things, and I'm seeing it everywhere, I decided for my own children, the one the Lord has given me, the flock, we will open the hearts to you. We have to teach you these things. Go and study different ways. For example, in passive income, the time you have is when you're establishing it. That's the only time you get involved. But after establishing it, you have systems or you have managers that manage it for you. For example, less like digital products. That's passive income. You create digital products, And the moment you finish and you publish it, or you post them and you put them, and people are now, you can be in an oil company, in a bank, in the church, working well, and that thing is bringing in money, bringing in 5 times, 10 times, 20 times your salary. That's called what? Passive income. Things that is different from portfolio income. It is not like you're investing, buying stocks, buying all those things. No. This is about more money. I told our people, I said, every department must be entrepreneur. You work in power and maintenance place. Why are you telling me we need to hire ladder? We need to hire scaffold. We need to hire everything you're hiring. That means is a need. You have value. Coming together as a church, you sit down and you said, it's not every time we're looking for money to buy battery. We're looking for money to buy this. No. You sit down and you plan it and write different things. Smaller generators, different all the things, cutting machine that you used to hire, and begin to take them down one by investing in them. Number one is it stops leaking your money. You're no longer hiring from other people. But when you finish, you go and put in front and different places and you put, you need this, come and what? So not only are you no longer giving other people your money, you're now collecting money from other people. Now, that hiring alone is passive income. It's not a business you sit down. You can just have one person that is in charge, a security man, and you say whenever they want to collect, somebody coming to get key, open, give them, make sure they bring it back, you go. And you face your business. But you must sit down. You must sit down and brainstorm. Research. Stay with the team. Consult. Come up with quality ideas. But if you're going to build wealth, if you're going to build wealth and you're going to be wealthy, you must continue to create multiple streams of end and passive income. Now listen to this. The wealthy, they are very passionate. Hear me now. Wealthy people are very passionate, ruthlessly aggressive, and unapologetically addicted. Very passionate, ruthlessly aggressive, and unapologetically addicted to constantly earning and increasing their income. Constantly earning and increasing their income. It is their passionate ambition to constantly enhance their earning capacity and increase their income. No wealthy man can stay with the same level of income for 6 months and be okay. Something must snap. Money is grown. What did I say? Shout it again. And let me tell you, if you understand the practicality of the experiences of life, no matter how much you have, if you're not earning more, what you have is already reducing. Because there will always be needs that are taking them. So people are, if you're not earning
anymore. There are a lot of people that appear to be comfortable today. They are only one event away from going broke. Because they are comfortable and they are now comfortable in their comfort zone, that they are no longer increasing their earning. One shaking, and they found out that they were never rich. So, wealthy people set goals. They make plans. They drive processes with consistency and persistence. That's how it is. Consistency is a job. Money and making money is the job. You're not joking with it. It's not idle chatter. It's not an assumption. It has moved from confession to construction. You're confessing and confessing, and you keep confessing because there is grace. After you plant, there is water that needs to fall. Rain has to fall. So your confession brings the rain. But when you finish the confession, go and plant. So when the rain falls, it will find seed in the ground. Because if the rain falls on your field and there is no seed, what will grow is weed. What you don't like. So, this is it. I want everybody to look at me. Stand on your feet. I want you to stand on your feet while I talk to you. One of the things we are going to do in that school, I'm not promising it will be this year. I want it to be this year. I'm not promising. If our administrators and my staff and pastors can come together and find a way to get me 3 days, intensive 3 days training, not more than 3 days, so we can concentrate. I know when this kind of school is happening, the people that need to come to it need, because they have other things to do too, so we have to concentrate it and then do it. And those who want to sign up, it's going to be a school, or it won't be free. Wealthy people understand value. You see, this one I'm giving you is what? Free. That's why somebody can just sit down and be sitting like this. Why this kind of matter is coming up? Check what makes you tired. That's what will be far from you. Check what excites you. That's what will come to you. If the discussion like this makes you feel tired, the problem is a root problem. You need serious surgery. It means there is an unhealthy value for money. The person that they are talking about money is tired. They are talking about relationship. They are talking about one gossip on social media. Hey, yay! Just let this meeting finish now. You find that the person is not tired. Is the kind of information that when information is too high for someone, it means the mind is not positioned for, wasn't ready for that level of information. And that's a very serious concern. As your pastor, hey. You know, we can teach you wealth creation as the tool of kingdom advancement, and you know it, and you come out and say, I'm going to make money for God's kingdom, and that's good. The question is, have you created the wealth? So before I teach you wealth creation as kingdom advancement, that's what the Lord told me. He said, first of all, go and tell them and show them how to create the wealth. There are people that even the knowledge that wealth creation is a tool of kingdom advancement is what is frustrating them. They want to do so much for Jesus, but they can't. They can't. There are people that every annual Thanksgiving, they get depressed. I'm here again. I don't have anything to give. They want to. They are willing to. But they don't have. that if you put uniform alone,
that you're going to wear uniform in a service, they can't come.
Because they don't have money to sew the uniform. They love Jesus.
So in the body of Christ, all around, we have to fix this. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Now, hold your neighbor.
One neighbor. Call him by his or her name. Say, Mr. David. Your deep passion and aggression. Do you know the word aggression? Your deep passion and aggression to earn more income always and constantly is the first indicator whether you'll be wealthy or not. Simple. If you're not passionate about earning.
Yeah, have you seen somebody that is passionate about earning? Somebody that is.
He stays in the house that is not. I have a grandmother that taught me that. I have few people. My grandmother, maternal grandmother, Susie. Everything was money. He just sit down and say, she can't sit. The next thing, pam, pam, pam. She belongs to CWO. My grandfather is top man in St. Mary's Onitsha. Was top man in St. Mary's Onitsha. Knight of St. Muluba. One of the core people. Because of his standing, my grandmother standing in CWO was also wonderful. Simple. She immediately started looking for everything CWO used to hire. And with that social circle, because when you have a church, what you have is an ecosystem. And she went to buy all the hirings. Every time they give her money, she go to her. I thought that was enough. The next thing, my grandfather was an agric officer. So when you come to his compound, all manner of things. The first time I drank Zobo, it was not dried Zobo. It was fresh Zobo, plucked from the farm. So when I saw Zobo that was that dark and all those things people were drinking, I said, what is this? Are you sure? Is there poison? Because we used to go to the farm, pluck the Zobo leaves right there, and soak it fresh. He used to crossbreed things. So we had Tangelo, tangerine and orange crossbreed. So you see all the distance. There was nothing. Coconut, mangoes, everything was there. Cocoyam, there has part for the ones. My grandmother went down. You never allow her to take something. She will now go to the fence and plant bitter leaf. Plant ogo. As she finished, she will pluck all of them, tie them, put them on the table outside her fence. And people will come to buy. I'm telling you. The next thing I noticed is she got thanks. That compound, making use of the compound, she got thanks. About 6 tanks. Place them, all of them. Start selling water. Everything. If you just say something and you need it in the area, that's a business. That passion to earn makes you see money in everything. But if you don't have the passion to earn, you will not even see the potentials of money. Even the ones that are lying before you. And that's what makes people poor. They are wasteful. 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 When I told the people that are constructing, I told them, I said, every wood that we invested 1 naira and bought, when I visit the site, you show me. If you don't show me, you pay for it. Or the security pen pay for it. It's either you sold it, or you were careless. Because if you saw the amount we were buying the wood, when you finish using it, you can't leave it and say people were coming to pick it. Because that's what? Money. and not to see that that is money is what? Waste. Just the mindset. I'm telling you why people are poor and why some are wealthy. We were doing a construction and we spent quite some money in that area. But some people were very careless about that construction and it went wrong. Or there are unavoidable mistakes and there are very avoidable mistakes. That one was a very avoidable mistake. And they had to destroy it to rework it. That thing was in hundreds of thousands. The blocks, the chippings, the rods, the cement, hundreds of thousands. It wasn't so large. That was many years ago. Many years ago. Not now. There is nothing hundreds of thousands in building now. And so I came. And the person just said, "Hey, Pastor, we made a mistake." I brought out 50,000 naira cash and gave to the person. And said, "Begin to tear it into pieces." And the person wouldn't. I said, "Tear 50,000 into pieces. How? You just tore hundreds of thousands because they are not in paper. And you didn't notice. People that are wealthy can see money. People who are poor, money is paper. There are some of you, if I go to your freezers, I can bring out 50,000 naira spoiled in that freezer. But when you see it, you just throw it away. And you didn't notice that that was money. If you had too much, you can waste. It's not a sign of wealth. It's foolishness. Why don't you decide that every day you come out, you pack food in disposables? Do you know the investment you're making by giving people food? There is a day for every seed you sow, it comes back. And it's not just that people will give you food. No. Those people, when you need their help, the amount of money they will save you from. They can bring down mountains for you. That's what is spoiling in your freezer. Do you know that food can get you to the heart of a person? You didn't hear what I said. Pack the food. Sometimes at the junction, there are people that are there. Be giving them food. They'll be thanking you. The day some people will plan against you and they are the ones there. That's what you're wasting in your future. So I want to ask you, as you're standing, if you're comfortable and complacent with an average income and you can stay with it for months, I don't want to say the end of the result, you already know. So to be wealthy, you must crack the earning code. That's what gives you the seed to build a fortune. Invest, invest, invest. Where is the seed money for investment? And every master of investment knows that it's better with volumes. There are investments you don't maximize their potentials of their returns until you have volume. How many of you are ready for wealth? Are you sure? Are you sure? How many of you are going to live here? I don't have all that time. Well, you're good because this is the one I wanted to work on. And how do I know that you have the ability? I know. Because if you're under pressure and you don't have a choice, they say something will spoil now. Somebody will die now. If you don't bring out this money, the ability in you comes out. Why is it that it's always when somebody is about having quick notice or have quick notice that the money to pay for a rent comes out? The ability is in you. If you will task your brain, and if you task your brain, you notice you're not coming out with quality ideas. The ideas you're coming doesn't have quality, because we're going to go to other areas about earning. I have a whole course, a whole I've developed on how to enhance your earning capacity. If I give you that course and you learn it in 1 year, the least is you are going to triple your income. That's the least. That means you were lazy. Go and develop your value to a point that is sought after. The quality of people that seek after what you have will determine the kind of money your value brings in. So there are two ways. It's either you have a slim quality. So people that are in the luxury business do that. They won't want to sell to the masses. They want the people that have a kind of money. So no matter what they produce, like you see iPhones, iPhone 17, iPhone this, the production cost is too small. Apart from the intellectual resource that goes into all those things, the hardware alone to do that in China, it may be a surprise, it's less than $10. But they make it exclusive. The people we want to buy this must have. They're going to have this $1,000, $1,500. Some others say we are not even doing that kind of thing. You have wristwatches, Richard Mille. You have some other places. When you want to touch the original ones, they tell you the price. So even if they sell only 1,000 units in a whole year, rich globally, they will sell more, because it's not only the wealth, the rich that spends on luxury. It's the wannabes also that really spend on luxury the more. So it's people have to act rich, look rich, because they want to enter a circle. That's a market itself, and you have to exploit it. The quality, the people that are buying from me, have I developed products that are rich and fit for kings? The people that are buying from me, how much can they spend? If you're the kind of person that have not broken into that, and you have not broken into that, another side is the masses. I have to collect them in number. It's either quality or quantity. I can make more money than the guy who is selling luxury by giving very cheap things, but I have to do it in such a way that I can amass quantity. Somebody shout quantity. Shout quantity. Did you get that? May the Lord bless you. Pray in the Spirit right now. Just for a minute. I will not close a meeting without that. Just for a minute, pray in the Spirit everywhere. There is going to be a time of impartation right now. So make sure your spirit is ready. Don't let the enemy communicate weakness. You must be alert. Those of you watching, wherever you are, pray in the Spirit. These principles work in every nation. No matter your location, no matter your geography, no matter your region, no matter who you are, it doesn't matter. It's indiscriminate. If you like be a pastor, if you like be a corporate professional, if you like be a businessman, an entrepreneur, whoever you are, these laws work the same way for everybody. Pray in the spirit, because there's a moment of impartation in this moment. Something's about to happen. Something's about to happen. Something is about to happen. Something is about to happen. Le kosh, le brandezo, la brandezunda la brahata, le karuzendala, rosanda libre ketesh, le brandekozanda la hata, le brandezunda libra gata. Pray in the spirit. Begin to receive grace. I can't live here and remain the same. I will never be trapped in financial mediocrity. For those of us who have already gone ahead, this is not where I stop. I'm not stopping here. I'm not stopping here. I'm not stopping here. This is not where I'm going to stop. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. There are mountains still to take. There are mountains still to take. There are heights still to attain. Hallelujah. There are lives still to be impacted. We have a mission on our hands. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. We have a mission on our hands. Must advance in our hands. What God has given to us, committed to us, the gospel will not fail in our time, because people lack finances and they are tied down to jobs that they seldom have time for themselves, seldom have time for their family, can't even remember the last time they had time to minister. There are people today that can't even plant a church because of the financial pressure on them. They have to overwork. They don't have any space. They can't even have a proper prayer life. That devil is a liar. That devil is a liar. That devil is a liar. We are breaking forth. We are breaking forth into financial abundance, financial dominion. We are breaking forth. We are breaking forth. Lift your hands and begin to receive new visions. New visions for your finances. New visions. New visions. If you've been comfortable where you are, because you have more than everybody else in your family, because you have more than all your friends, because you already have, and you think you have arrived, that devil is a liar. There is much more. It's time. It's time. It's time for new visions. Quantum leaps financial visions. Begin to receive. Lord God, breathe afresh. Holy Spirit, breathe afresh. Awaken our passion to create wealth. Awaken our passion to create wealth. Let the excuses dry up. Let the fears dry up. In the name of Jesus, let grace be unleashed. Let grace be unleashed. Ah, Kayotoya. In the name of Jesus. I said there is a stroke of divinity that must be on your side. You know, every session in IFPC will give offerings. But what we are going to be giving now is a different one. While you prepare your offerings, your seeds for this session, I want you to listen carefully. We are going to pray at least 1 to 2 more minutes. Carry those seeds. Pray with fire. Every one of us here, let me tell you what this seed is about. Every one of us, we have heard. There are some of us that even the things we're taught now has not yet been revealed. You heard. Some of you, is the first time you're having this level of knowledge passed across to you. And you're feeling like, I'm just 18 years. Hi! There are 18 years that are executives. I used to talk about one of this man's children, Peter Daniels, that at 18 was already an executive of an airline. They were providing private jets for people and also servicing airplanes. Of that's what the company was doing. At 18 years, was the CEO running the company. Lack of exposure may make you think that your street and your neighborhood is all there is to this world. Don't let your environment limit you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? All things are possible to him that believes. The first thing about this seed is that God will take, I'm calling it the seed of illumination. God will take the things that have been taught and begin to minister to me in the night hours. He said, morning by morning, you awaken my ear to hear as the learned. Night after night, show it knowledge, so that day after day I can utter speech. What I say and what I do in the day are the things I contact in the night. Moments of meditation. The Holy Spirit is our teacher, our guide. He's the revealer of truth. There are layers and layers in what we have been taught. If you have gotten them, and then you can also get the messages to listen over and over again. Take it as your December project in terms of your finances, that you won't enter next year ignorant, naive, disorderly, ill-prepared, unprepared. That next year, every financial insult must end. That you will never receive a vision from God that you won't have the means to facilitate it. So this is one, the seed of illumination. Somebody say illumination. Come on, shout illumination. Come on, shout illumination. That's the first. The second, this is the seed of favor. Listen, this is what I have noticed in my life. I learn a lot of things. I prepare my heart, I'm going to do them. Some of them, I start getting right immediately. Some of them takes me a little time. A few of them takes me very long. Very few. But I'm always putting my heart in them. I'm not going to give up. So once I find that this is the right thing to do, no matter how I don't get it at first, I keep coming back to it. Because the other choice is to live the consequences of not doing the right thing, which I don't want. But in the midst of all this, I have noticed something. While I'm working at it, receiving grace, receiving strength, being responsible, here and now. You know, like you tell your child, Pastor Chima, come, let me show you. you tell your child, I just want you to be carrying this things for me and take it in. And he's going. He's responsible. He carries one, he goes. He carries two, he goes. You're smiling. As a father, my child is growing. He's carrying it, he goes. After a while, he gets distracted. You call him. Didn't I tell you to carry these things as he's going? And then to show him the magnanimity of your love. That this thing I told you is just to develop your character. I'm still in charge. You just open a window. As he comes to carry, he notices that you have sent other people to now carry everything with him. You have given him help. In everything I'm applying, I notice that there are just windows and times where God even sees that there are things that are difficult for me at the moment. Where I'm not able to yet fix every of these principles together. And yet, he just offers this help. Just opens this window. Just does something. And then I begin to cry. I remember in December we were doing a project in church. And the Lord told me different things we are going to do. I shared the vision to the church.
Thank you so much for listening to this message by Pastor David Ifechukwu. Follow us on any of our social media platforms using the handle @MyLambWorld or contact us at 006-275-3311 to purchase and listen to more life-changing messages by Pastor David Ifechukwu.